But let us turn now to our epistle lesson, which comes from Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth in the 12th chapter, beginning at the third verse. Beloved, let us listen for God's word to us. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, let Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Now, my friends, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God will. It lives forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? On this day of Pentecost, O Lord, be with us as we read, study, and by your grace seek to follow this portion of your holy word. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the vantage point of 2,000 years after the event, we come together and wear red, remind ourselves that this is a birthday party. And if we were worshiping in person, we would probably even have a birthday cake. I suspect that on the actual day of Pentecost, things were a little different. I think it was a pretty frightening day. The events, as described in the book of Acts, believers of the way, which is what Christians were then called, were all gathered in one place, and suddenly something happened. It's described as a great wind, a violent wind, and then tongues as of fire. Imagine. Strange people speaking in a profusion of languages, a violent wind, and fire. A maelstrom, really. What would you have felt? What would you have thought? Well, I think there was probably anxiety, fright, certainly an adrenaline rush. But somehow, those who were gathered do not evince any kind of fear, but rather a kind of enthusiasm, an openness to God's leading, as they begin to embrace what could be. That's the Pentecostal spirit. the openness to the leading of the Spirit, whither it may go. Now, Pentecostalism is an American-born expression of Christianity. It began to develop early in the 20th century around Azusa Street in Los Angeles. And you might not know that at its beginning, Pentecostalism was really quite diverse. Unusual for the early 20th century, it was an expression that included Black people and white people, really unknown in American culture of those days. Women and men were both leaders in a day when women were not religious leaders in any other denominations, or not clergy anyway. They were leaders. They were always leaders. They just weren't ordained and recognized as such. Pentecostalism in its early days included both the learned and the not so learned. What they held in common was a persistent belief that God continues to move decisively and powerfully among his people to enable them to do great things. Now, in this point in the sermon, I had planned to regale you with the finer points of Pentecostal worship, the freedom of its liturgy, its spontaneity, and to tell you of its great success. It is the fastest growing branch and or expression of Christianity, especially in the Southern Hemisphere, in Latin America, in Sub-Saharan Africa, and throughout Asia. It's what I had planned to talk with you about. And then a policeman in Minneapolis took a knee. On the neck of a handcuffed George Floyd. And via video, the whole world watched in horror as George Floyd narrated his own death. And in the days that followed, came the violent wind and the flames. And yes, today, this very day of Pentecost, American cities are burning once again. Will we meet this day of Pentecost with fears of strange people speaking or screaming in strange tongues? Or will we be able to find in these moments the possibility within ourselves to hear the Holy Spirit calling us to dream dreams and to prophesy of better days? Three young, blameless African Americans have been killed by police or vigilantes in as many weeks. COVID-19 has visited itself on Black and brown persons in America at more than twice their occurrence in the percentage of the population. Tens of millions of people of every race are unemployed and at their wits' end. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. once said, uprisings, protests, riots, call them what you will, uprisings are the language of those who have not been heard. The fires and protests in more than 20 American cities are the cries of those who have been pushed to the breaking point by the inequities of American life. The failure, not of our vision, but in our capacity to live into our national ideals. In our economic downturn, matters have become more desperate for many in all races, where they cannot see how they will regain a firm footing. Racial injustice, of course, holds a special place in American life, both historically and presently. Last week on Memorial Day, as we observed Memorial Day, Chris played as a postlude that wonderful song, America the Beautiful. And we know, don't we? We know the words of one of those verses. A prayer, really. America, America, God, mend her every flaw, confirm her soul in self-control, in liberty, and in law. What a magnificent prayer. Yes, God, mend the flaws of injustice with self-control, with liberty, and law. Now, early on in church history, as the church began to think about and celebrate Pentecost, the Roman Catholic Church early on adopted the image of the descending dove as the image of Pentecost and of the Holy Spirit. The churches of the Reformation, by and large, have also adopted this same symbol. Even to see a descending dove on a paramount or in a stained glass window or in a sculpture gives us a certain sense of peace. But I tell you, I and some of you, I know, are descended from Celtic Christians who never accepted the descending dove as the sign of the Holy Spirit. Rather, our tribe adopted the wild goose with its honking, frantic, manic activities. In fact, even today, the liturgical renewal movement, which is centered in Iona, an island off the coast of Scotland, calls its publication wing Wild Goose Publications. The Celts didn't believe that the spirit descends gently like a dove, but rather that it honk, honk, honks to move us along, goose us along, if you like, that we might be who we were intended to be. Well, dove or goose, the Holy Spirit is like all other energy sources. It can be explosive or it can be channeled. Think of gasoline, a can of gas, and you throw a match, boom, you have an explosion. But in an orderly way, put it into an internal combustion engine and it will power a long journey safely. On this day of Pentecost, the Church of Jesus Christ, the Presbyterian Church at Shrewsbury, and every single one of us as Christians must ask ourselves, what does the Holy Spirit call us to do and to be, even in the midst of violent winds and flames? You see, that first Pentecost was a reversal, a kind of a reversal of the Tower of Babel. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? It's an Old Testament story. And the people on the tower all spoke different languages, but they had no understanding one another. And so it led to chaos and destruction. But at Pentecost, if you heard Jules and the others reading the text, at Pentecost, they spoke different tongues, but somehow by the Spirit of God, they came to understand the longings of each other's hearts and to hear in those languages a common human longing. Perhaps the shocking wind, and fire did not scare them that day, because they remembered what their Lord had said about when the Spirit descended on him. What did their Lord and ours say? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of God's favor." What a tall order. Who in their right mind would think of 2020 as the year of God's favor? Pandemic, economic collapse, civil disruption, and cities burning. Yet, on this day of Pentecost, we are being goosed along by a Holy Spirit to work for justice and equity and peace, not to fan the flames of disunity and despair. In some disruptive days in England, on a Pentecost day, one of their finest poets, William Blake, think fire, tiger, tiger, burning bright, wrote a poem for Pentecost, and a portion of it goes this way. "Unless the eye catches fire, God is not seen. Unless the ear catches fire, God has not heard. Unless the tongue catches fire, God is not named. Unless the heart catches fire, God is not loved. Unless the mind catches fire, God is not known." Yeah, you gotta have fire. You just gotta have fire. 113 years ago, on April 14th in 1921, the Titanic hit an iceberg. And in 2 hours, it sank. The SS California was about an hour and a half away and might have lent support and saved hundreds of lives. But their captain, fearing the iceberg, had extinguished her fires and she had no steam up. And so when they received the distress call, they could not steam for the Titanic. You know the rest. The Carpathia was 4 hours away. And by the time it came to Titanic's aid, 1,500 people had died. You gotta have fire. It's gotta be channeled, but you gotta have fire. In academic theology, which I know is about to lull you into REM sleep, the study of the Holy Spirit is called pneumatology. It's the same root as pneumonia or pneumatic wrench. It has to do with air and lungs, respiration. The Holy Spirit breathes new life into the church. The Holy Spirit inspires, that's another respiration word, inspires the church. So catch your breath this day of Pentecost, in this moment, and pray, "Come, Holy Spirit, come and heal your people, all your people, that they might dream dreams and prophesy of the kingdom of God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, come." Amen.